Joshua chapter 1, and today I would just like to read this one verse. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, we read here, the Lord is speaking, and he says this to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let us seek God's help today as we open up his word. Our dear God and Father, we come before you this day and we bow before you. We humbly ask that you would send your spirit amongst us this day. We pray for your help, Lord, as we seek to open up your word, to understand your truth, to be able to apply this to our lives. We pray, Father, that you might give us the help that only you can give. Help us to look to you and not rely on ourselves, but help us to know that you are the one that can only bless the word. And we pray this day, Father, that your word would be blessed as it goes forth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this chapter, I'd like for us today to focus upon the command that the Lord is giving here to Joshua. It's a command where he says to be strong and be courageous. And he gives this command not just once, not twice, but he gives it to him for three times. So what is the importance of this command? How do we understand this? Well, as we seek to open up this command today, I propose a simple outline. First, let us consider the reason for the command. And then secondly, let us consider the encouragements that God gives with this command. And then finally, a few simple lessons that we may learn from this command. Well, first then, why does the Lord give Joshua this command to be strong and courageous? Well, I think if we look at God's word, we can see here pretty obviously that one of the main reasons is the task that he is being assigned. It's a challenging task. Joshua is given the task to lead the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. God tells Joshua in verse 2, he says, "Arise, go over the Jordan, you and all the people, into the land I am giving you." And we know this is no easy task. The land is occupied. It's not as though the inhabitants are going to welcome him in. They're not going to give up their cities, give up their homes, give them the land willingly? No. To take this land, it will be required the people to go to battle against the inhabitants of Canaan. And Joshua, he already knows something about these people, the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. You might remember 40 years earlier when God had brought the people to the land of promise. Joshua was one of the spies that had been sent by Moses to spy out the land. And if you would please turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And in this chapter, in verses 25 through 33, we find the report of the spies. And for sake of time, I will not read this entire section, but I'd like to call your attention to just a few key points that were reported by the spies. When the spies had returned from spying out the land, first we see that they give a positive report concerning the land itself. In verse 27, they reported that it was a land that flows with milk and honey. It is so wonderful that they even brought back examples of the fruit from the land. A very encouraging description of the land itself. A land that God himself has promised to give to the people. But then, this report turns negative quickly. They then turn to the report regarding the inhabitants of the land. And in verse 28, we read this. "However, despite how wonderful the land is, the inhabitants, the people who dwell in this land, they are a people who are strong." And then later in verse 31, he describes these inhabitants as the people that are stronger than we. It's not just any people. These people are stronger than we are. And then they turn their attention to the cities that they must conquer. These cities are well fortified. They have walls. They're large. How will we ever conquer them? And then besides all of these things, they then say that they saw the descendants of Anak. Well, who are these descendants of Anak? Well, we read elsewhere that these are people of great height, of fierce and mighty warriors. And in some translations, they are described as giants. Think of it. There are giants in the land. The land that we are to go to, the land that we are to conquer. We feel as though we're just grasshoppers in comparison to them. And this report was so negative, you may remember that it discouraged the people of Israel to the point that they rebelled against God. And they did not enter into the promised land. Well, Joshua knows very well that these same formidable adversaries, they're still there. These same adversaries that the spies had seen 40 years ago. Nothing has changed. There are still giants in the land. There are still strongly fortified cities that they must overcome. And he must lead the people into that land. Well, certainly as we think of this, I think we all would agree. This is certainly a reason for Joshua needing to be encouraged and hearing this command to be strong and courageous. The task that he is being assigned is a difficult task. He will have to go to battle against a fierce and mighty people. But I believe there is also a second reason. A second reason for why Joshua needed to hear this command to be strong and courageous. Turn with me back to Joshua chapter 1. And look with me again at verse 9. In this verse we read, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed." Notice here that with the command to be strong and courageous, the Lord also gives a warning of the potential to become frightened, to become dismayed. And so I suggest to you today that one of the reasons Joshua needed to hear this command is because the Lord knew he was going to fight with fear. God knows that Joshua will not only have to battle the inhabitants of Canaan, but he is also going to have to battle against fear. And the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. The Lord knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. He knows that we are weak and we are so prone to fear. And the Lord knows that Joshua needs to hear this command. He needs to hear the command to be strong and courageous, to help him to combat the fears that he may be experiencing. But you know, as I thought about this, I was thinking to myself, but why would Joshua of all people have to combat fear? Remember, this is Joshua we're talking about here. He was with Moses. He was by Moses' side from the time of the Exodus from Egypt for the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And think of it, during that time, Joshua, he has seen firsthand the power of the Lord, a power that was displayed in the 10 plagues that God brought upon Egypt. A power that showed God's great power and might. A power that was so great that those plagues humbled Pharaoh, who at that time was the greatest ruler in the world. And he was humbled to the point that it ultimately resulted in Pharaoh being willing to free the slaves, Joshua included, being freed from bondage. But Joshua, he also saw firsthand the guidance of the Lord. The pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. The Lord went before the people by day in a pillar of cloud. It's to lead them along the way. They were going through the wilderness. Which way shall I go? They didn't have to be concerned with that. No, there was a pillar of cloud before them. And Joshua was there with them and following that pillar of cloud. And then at night, when it grew dark, oftentimes we become fearful at night when it's dark. But they were not left alone in the dark. No, there was a pillar of fire. Fire to light the way by night. Just imagine what it must have been like for Joshua to see this, to experience it, to be part of it. But then also we know that Joshua firsthand has seen the protection of the Lord. When Pharaoh and his armies and chariots pursued the people, you may remember that they were seemingly trapped against the Red Sea with no place to turn. And they cried out to God. And Joshua heard, God heard their prayers. And Joshua saw God dividing the Red Sea and making a way for the people to cross over on dry land. And then, as the Egyptians were pursuing, seeking to destroy the people, God brought the waters back in upon them. And God gave Israel the victory that day over Pharaoh and his entire horde of people. Joshua saw, though, that that victory, that protection, was only of the Lord. So Joshua has seen the power. He has seen the guidance. He has seen the protection of the Lord. And certainly it's one thing to see it, but it's another thing to experience it. And Joshua himself, he experienced that firsthand. And he experienced the victory of the Lord. You may remember that Joshua was the one that Moses called when it was time to fight the Amalekites. And he said, Joshua, choose out men to fight with Amalek. And Joshua obeyed. And he fought. And God gave him the victory. It was not himself. It was not the people. But he knew that it was God that gave the victory. So again, I ask, for a man that has seen so much, who has experienced so much of God's great power and might, why does he need to be encouraged? What has changed? Is he not still the same great warrior? Is he still not the same man who was by Moses' side for 40 years? Is he still not the same man who never in the past displayed fear? Remember how that when he had returned from spying out the land 40 years earlier, there was no hint of fear in Joshua. And when the 10 spies gave the bad report that discouraged the people, no, he and Caleb, they sought to encourage the people. And they urged the people, and they said to them, do not fear the people in the land. Instead of fear, he said, he called the people to trust in the Lord. Joshua and Caleb focused on the good aspects of the land. And they reminded the people that it is the Lord. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land, and it will be He that will give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. So again, I ask, what has changed? As I thought about it, I suggest that maybe the thing that has changed is connected to Joshua's new role. Joshua is now the leader. Look again at Joshua chapter 1. In verse 2, we read this. Moses, my servant, is dead. I can't even imagine what that must have been like for Joshua, a man that he was by his side for so many years, a man who he saw and looked up to as the great leader of the nation, a man who he knew that the power of God was being displayed through the words and acts of Moses. But Moses is no longer there. Moses is no longer the leader of the people. That responsibility is now falling upon the shoulders of Joshua. Joshua is now the leader of the people. He's no longer the second in command. He no longer has Moses there as the leader. But it's all on him. The role of leader brings on added responsibility and pressure. I think, as we all know, hey, you know, it's one thing to be part of a team, right? To participate and to follow a great leader. But it is a completely different thing to be the leader. Ultimately, we know the leader has the final responsibility, right? We've heard the saying, the buck stops here. And when it comes down to it, the final responsibility comes back to the leader. And in this role of leader, he knows that this is no easy task for him. At the commissioning of Joshua to lead the nation, Moses speaks these words in Deuteronomy 31, verse 27, speaking of the people of Israel, the people he is to lead. He says this, "For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death?" Think of it. Joshua will not only have to face the battles against the inhabitants of the land, the enemies of God's people, but as leader, he will now have to face the complaints, the criticisms, the second guessing, the murmuring and complaining, and even the potential rebellion of his own people. And we know these people do not have a great track record, do they? They've got a history of murmuring and complaining and rebellion. So this is adding to the pressure upon Joshua. But also know that as the leader, the people will be looking to Joshua as their example. Leaders need to lead by example. And it's necessary for leaders to display courage. And so as they are entering the promised land and they are ready to go to war, Joshua will be their example. The people will be looking to him. How does he conduct himself? How does he respond in the face of adversity? Will he succumb to fear when he is in the midst of battle? Or will he be faithful to God? Will he continue to trust and obey the Lord? Well, as we consider all these things, it is no wonder that Joshua needs to hear these words from the Lord. Be strong and courageous. So I believe here we have seen at least two reasons why Joshua needed to hear this command. The command to be strong and courageous. First, we have seen Joshua will be leading the people into the promised land to fight against a fierce adversary. And secondly, we have seen that Joshua needs to be equipped to combat any fear that he may be experiencing. Well, for our second major point, I'd like us to now consider, what are the encouragements that the Lord gives with this command? You know, God gives this command, but he just does not leave Joshua alone with this, just these commands. Be strong and courageous. Okay, go on your way. No. God gives Joshua three encouragements along with this command to help him. First, Joshua is encouraged by being reminded of the specific promise of God to give this land to the people. Look with me at verse 6 in Joshua chapter 1. And we read these words, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them." The land that they are going to. This is the promised land. It's a land that was promised to Abraham centuries earlier when he entered the land of Canaan. You may remember that it is the Lord that appeared to him. And he said to him, "To your offspring, I will give this land." And it is a promise that was repeated throughout the generations. And the same promise is repeated again here to Joshua. Look with me at verses 2 and 3. We read that it is God speaking here, and it is God who is giving the promise. He's giving the promise that he will be giving this land to the people. He says this, "Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the land of, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses." They are commanded to go over the Jordan into a land that has been promised by God from centuries ago to give to them. And it is the Lord that will be doing the giving. And it is such a certain promise. I think it is important to note that as the Lord is speaking, he says that I have given to you. Remember, he says this, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. To me, that's the past tense. It's as if it's a done deal. It's certain. All you got to do is walk on it. It will be yours. Be certain. I will fulfill my promise. Just as I promised to Moses, just as I promised to Abraham, I will fulfill my promise. It is God who has given the land, and it is God who is faithful to keep his promises. So hopefully we see here one of the encouragement that God gives to Joshua, an encouragement of the reminder of his promise to give the land to Israel. Well, secondly then, we see that Joshua is further encouraged by being reminded that God has given his law to guide and direct. Look with me at verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." The world is always asking this question. What is the key to success? Well, the Lord gives it right here. The key to success is obedience. Obedience to the word of God. Joshua is directed here to obey the law of God. He is not to turn to the right. He is not to turn to the left. He is not to deviate. He is not to waver. He is to continue on in the law of God. And to be able to do that, it is necessary for him to know what God's law is. He must read it. He must study it. It's not simply, oh, well, every now and then I'll open it up and have a few glances at it, read a verse here or there. No. He has to be intimately aware of and imbibe in his own body, in his own mind, the word of God. And further we read that Joshua was directed to meditate on it. Day and night, when commenting on Joshua, being told to meditate on God's word, James Montgomery Boyce writes this. He says that meditation is a step beyond mere knowledge of the scripture or mere talking about it. He says that meditation implies reasoning about the word and deducing things from it. Meditation has applications as a goal. So we read God's word, we meditate upon it, and we seek to try to understand how do we apply this to our lives. He goes on to say that meditation gets the word of God into our minds, and it becomes a part of us. It becomes part of our normal day-to-day reasoning and thinking. When we are faced with any challenge, immediately, God's word comes to mind. And it is God's word that helps us to know which way to go, to follow him and to obey him. And I know that we are all busy, right? We all have our excuses. Well, I can't read God's word today. You know, I'm too busy. I can't meditate upon it. Well, Joshua, I would submit to you, is a very busy man. Joshua is leading an entire nation. He's leading a nation into battle. I'm sure he is much more busy than any of us. And the Lord says to him that he must meditate day and night. So how will he manage his time? What will be his priority? God tells him that he must prioritize the reading and meditating on God's word, both day and night. But also Joshua needs to be careful to obey all that is written in God's word. You know, sometimes there's some things that are rather difficult that we read. Right? At times we might be tempted to want, oh, I'll just skip over that one. That's a hard thing for me to obey. But Joshua, he doesn't have that option. God tells him that he must obey God's word in its entirety. And so too must we. And it is with this type of obedience, an obedience to God's law, that God gives this promise of success. So, we have seen God giving Joshua encouragement. First, by his specific promise to give the people the land. And secondly, by God's provision of his law to guide and direct. Well, now thirdly, Joshua is encouraged by what may be one of the greatest encouragements for anyone. A reminder that the Lord is with him. It's a promise that is given to him twice. First in verse 5, the Lord tells Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And again, at the end of verse 9, he tells Joshua, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a great encouragement this must have been to Joshua. The Lord is with him. The Lord will not leave him. He will not forsake him. No matter wherever he goes, he is not going to be alone. He will not be fighting on his own. He will not have to rely on himself. And his wisdom and his might. No, it is the Lord that is with him. And it's with this promise, God also gives him a promise of success. He tells him that no one will be able to stand before you. And it's not because of him. Right? It's not because of Joshua and his strength and might. No, it is because the Lord is with him, and it is the Lord that gives the success. It is the Lord that is going to go before the people into the land. It is the Lord that will be destroying the nations before them. It is the Lord who will be giving the land and the cities over to the people of Israel. And it is the Lord who will be giving them the victory. Well, I hope we see that this is a great encouragement, not only to Joshua, but also to us, I hope. Joshua is about to take on this new responsibility. A responsibility to lead a nation. And it's not during a time of peace. It's at a time where they're about to go to war. War against a strong and a fierce enemy. God knows exactly what Joshua needs to hear. Joshua needs to hear this command to be strong and courageous. Not once, not twice, but he needs to hear it three times. And with this command, God also gives Joshua three encouragements. A reminder of the specific promise of God to give the land to the people. A reminder that God has given his law to guide and direct. And a reminder that the Lord is with him. Well, as we think of this passage of scripture, what lessons can we learn? What can we apply to ourselves? Well, I suggest one lesson that is important for us to learn from this. Is that when we find ourselves struggling with fear, we need to remember to look to the promises of God to help us combat our fears. You might be listening today and saying to yourself, well, this is an interesting account of Joshua. You might be thinking, but how does that apply to me? You know, I'm never going to lead a nation. I'm never going to go to battle with giants. And although this is true, none of us are Joshuas, but I expect that all of us will one day find ourselves in a situation that causes us to struggle with fear. Perhaps you might be experiencing fear when you find yourself placed in a new leadership role. And with this role, you find that you have an increased responsibility that is causing you to fear. Maybe it's at work. Maybe you've been part of a team for so many years, but suddenly, just recently, the boss has said, hey, I now am making you team leader. And it's the leader of a project that is difficult and complicated and important. That can cause you to fear. But perhaps it's at home. Perhaps you've just been married. And now, husbands, lead your wives. A new responsibility for a young man who's never been there before. And sure, I remember when. It can be fearful. It can cause fear. I am leader? Wait a minute. Or perhaps when you have children. As parents, it's our responsibility to lead our children. All of these things can add fear, can cause us to fear. But perhaps it might be that you have been given a new and challenging task. And you desire to faithfully serve God and what He has given to you to do. But as you consider this task, you may see the many obstacles and the many hindrances that are before you. And as you are thinking about it, you maybe even start to question yourself, questioning your ability. You might start to doubt whether you can even succeed. And as you're doing this, all of this may lead to a great fear that you're going to fail. Or perhaps it's just simply that fear is coming upon you as you're facing a new trial that God has brought into your life. And just like Joshua, you're called to obey. And you desire to do so. But in doing so, you know that you're going to face giants. The trials may be so great, they may even be insurmountable, that it may even bring you to the point where you become overwhelmed with fear. But then how do we then combat fear? What do? Well, I think, as I said before, we need to remember the promises of God. Throughout Scripture, the Lord has given us repeatedly these wonderful and great promises. And one of the most precious promises is this: fear not, for I am with you. The Lord knows that we are prone to fear. But as God's people, we know that we are not alone. No matter where we are, no matter what challenge, no matter what enemy we might face, we need to remember that it is the Lord that is with us. And keep in mind, think of it. Who is it that's with you? It's the Lord. It's the Lord God Almighty. It is the King of Kings. It's the Lord of Lords. It's the sovereign ruler of all creation. This is who is with you. And if God is for us, who can be against us? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do? What an encouragement that should be to us. So when we face times of fear, we need to remember to look to God's Word. Search the Scriptures. And in them you will find for yourself the many times that God has given this promise to His people to be with us, to never leave us, to never forsake us. And may those promises give each of us the help that we need to combat and to overcome our fears. But also, more briefly, I would also say that another lesson we can learn from this is that we need to remember that the source of our strength is not in and of ourselves, but it is in the Lord. When we are called to be strong and courageous in the face of our fears, it's important that we look to the Lord for our strength. Our strength does not come in ourselves, because by ourselves, we are just so weak. We are prone to fear and failure. We must be careful not to trust in our own wisdom, not to trust in our own might or skill or ability. No. We need to look for strength. We need to look to God. And we can be thankful. Thankful that we're not left to ourselves. God has given us His Word. a word that is sufficient for us, a word in which God tells us what to do. He tells us that we are to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And just as Joshua learned this firsthand throughout his life, that even though he was a great and a mighty warrior, and he was a leader of a nation, Joshua knew that his strength came only from the Lord. And it is only by His strength that we can succeed, a success that can only be achieved in the Lord. So, we too need to know this, that our strength comes from the Lord. We need to remember to turn our eyes away from ourselves and turn our eyes to the Lord, the only one upon whom we can truly rely. For it is the Lord who gives us the victory. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your many great and precious promises. Oh Lord, we are so thankful for Your promise that You are with us, that You will never leave us nor forsake us. What an amazing promise that is, and may it even encourage us to stir up our hearts when we face fear, to combat and overcome them, and to be strong and courageous for the task that You lay before us. Lord, we know that at times this is not difficult. We know at times this is very difficult, Lord. We know that we have no ability in and of ourselves, but Lord, we ask that You would help us to always remember this, that our strength comes from You. We pray that You would encourage us this day, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.